this week in our portion, we see Moses' father-in-law again. We've seen it, we saw him earlier when Moses fled from Egypt, and he comes back again. And his name is Yitro. Yitro in Hebrew, Jethro in English. In fact, we've heard him called a different name even, because back when Moses fled Egypt, we actually got introduced to his father-in-law, and at that time, his name was Reuel. It's not unusual for people in Scripture to have two different names, so we shouldn't be really surprised about that. But he comes to Moses, and he bears with him Moses' wife and children. They have a good old time when they get together. And the next day when they're all together, he sees Moses sitting and everyone gathered around them. And he gives Moses some advice, because he sees it's not good for Moses to have all of these people around him. That he saw that it was going to be too much for Moses to handle on the long term. He was going to get burnt out. So we see what happens in Exodus 18. Let's take a look, a couple of verses from Exodus 18, starting in verse 15. Moses answered his father-in-law, because his father-in-law says, "Hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing?" Moses answered his father-in-law, "It's because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have an issue, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, so I make them understand God's statutes and laws." So after his counsel, you know, after this, Jethro gives counsel on how to delegate the workload. Kind of sets up a judicial system so that the whole burden isn't on Moses' shoulder. And we know from Scripture later on that Moses actually took this idea to Adonai, who approves of it. But that's not really what I want to look at today. Today I want to look at the why Moses said people were coming to him. We read that Moses says they come to him so that he could help them understand God's statutes and laws. Moses didn't only judge between the people. It wasn't that he said, "You're right, you're wrong. This is the correct way, this is the incorrect way." He did more than that. He explained Adonai to them. He explained the scriptures that we read now. He was explaining them as they were living them out back then. He explained so they could understand and do right by Adonai and to each other. So Moses was not just saying who wins and who's right, but he's doing more. Moses told Jethro, "I make them understand the statutes of God. Make them understand the laws." And he's explaining it to them so that they understand it. He was telling them what the Torah from Adonai says and what it means, what it meant for each one of those situations that they were in. Now we know Moses goes up to Mount Sinai later on in Scripture in chapter 20 to get the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words, which is the basis for righteous living that Moses is actually giving to the people. Even as we read through the history of Israel here in Exodus and the rest of the five books of Scripture, we see that Moses had the understanding that he was able to share. He had already been told by Adonai what was expected of the people, and he was the one who was teaching the whole nation how to live rightly and righteously through the commandments of Adonai. And it's the same for us today. We're not to read Torah and all of the rest of Scripture as a list of do's and don'ts. But there's instructions for us to live by. And if we're to live by them, then we need more than just to memorize them. In fact, memorizing them is the least important part of living by the instructions given, at least in my opinion. It's understanding them that will let us be enabled to live them out. This was true for the Torah then, it's true for the Torah now, it's true for the Tanakh, it's true for the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenant. We need to more than just memorize words, we need to understand them. Think of it this way, our numbering system. We know the names, we've memorized the names of numbers, 1, 2, 3. But what if we didn't understand concepts behind the numbers? What if we didn't understand what 3 really was? We memorized the name. But is it greater or less than 7? What does it really mean to us? In order for it to have true meaning, we have to truly understand what it is. Understanding the words and instructions of Adonai does not only allow us to live rightly according to his ways, but also allows us to know him in a more complete way. This is why in synagogues around the world, and I would say especially Messianic synagogues, that the Torah scroll is taken out and read from and taught from. You know, the way that it's taught is important also. It's not like an elementary school. It's not spoken out, and then you repeat it back, and then you write it 10 times so that you have it memorized in your head. It's much more than that. We're to learn from it and apply it to our lives. This is how we truly get to know Adonai as well as his ways. And, you know, we see at the start of John, the book of John, the description of the word. So starting in John 1:1 for a couple of verses there. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. John, of course, takes this from the beginning of Bereshit, the beginning of Genesis. It shows us that the Word is identified with God, and in fact is God. They are one and the same. You cannot know one without knowing the other. You can't know the Word and not know God. You can't know God without knowing the Word. When we take the scroll out of the ark, I like to say, this is the first 5 books of Torah. The first 5 books of Scripture, they represent all of Scripture and the living Scripture, which is Yeshua. It's almost like a script that I have when it comes out because it's so true. And of course, we believe that Yeshua and the Father are one. And we believe this because we know and understand the Word. We are to look to the Word and to seek after his Word, as we are told in Psalm 119. 119, starting in 9, says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot. I have treasured your Word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Adonai. Teach me your statutes. The psalmist wants to show us that if a person lives their life according to the word of God, they will keep their way pure. We are to run after the word and not just get the word into our hearts, but to treasure the word. If you really treasure something, you don't just keep it locked away, never to be seen, but you take it out, you show it off, and you get to know it better, and you get to understand it better. Ever talk to someone with a car that they truly treasure? I mean, they love this car. They take it to car shows. They wash it. They keep it shiny. They know that car inside out. They know what makes that car run. They know every bolt of that car. They treasure that car. They understand that car. We should also feel that way about God's laws, His word. If God's word is not understood, then how do we know what pleases God? How do we know our lives are truly in accordance with the will of God if we don't know His word, if we don't understand His word? When the Sadducees came to question Yeshua about what would happen to a widow and all of the deceased husbands that she had after their death, after all of them died. And this really was a trap for Adonai, because the Sadducees didn't believe in life after death. Look what Yeshua says to them in Mark 12. Mark 12:24. Yeshua said to them, "Isn't this the reason you've gone astray? Because you don't understand the scriptures or the power of God." He said they've gone astray because they don't have understanding of the scriptures. They were wrong, not because of sin, but because of a lack of understanding, which then led them to sin. Yeshua then takes the teaching a little bit further as we go on through Mark 12. When a Torah scholar asks the question about which commandment is most important, Yeshua tells him the Shema. He recites the Shema to him. And this is what the scholar said in Mark 12, starting in 32. "Well said, teacher," the Torah scholar said to him. "You have spoken the truth, and He is Echad, and beside Him there is no other. And to love Him with all your heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as oneself, is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices." Yeshua agrees with him about the most important commandment, but also about the offerings as well. He said, love, understanding, and strength, which means our everything, are the most important things. But of these three things, of love, understanding, and strength, it could be understanding really is the most important. Because if we don't understand the word of Adonai, then how do we love? And without the understanding of the word, where do we put our strength towards? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, encourages us towards understanding as well in his letter to the Colossians. Colossians 1:9, starting there. "For this reason also, ever since we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We keep asking God that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." He prays for the followers to have not just knowledge, but also wisdom and spiritual understanding of the word of Adonai. He doesn't just stop with the encouragement to get the word into their minds and hearts, but He wants them also to have that wisdom. And perhaps even more important, have the understanding, the spiritual understanding of what the word means. In Scripture, we see an example of a group of people who are held out as an example of wanting to understand Scripture. And we see it in Acts 17. Here we're told that Shaul and Silas went to Berea. And listen what is said about the Bereans in Acts 17, starting in 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Remember, they were kicked out of there. Because they received the message with goodwill, searching the scriptures each day to see whether these things were true. Therefore, many of them believed, as well as quite a few prominent Greek women and men. They not only heard and received the message that Shaul and Silas gave them, but they searched out the scriptures. They searched them out for understanding. It's not enough to hear the word, but they needed to understand them fully to accept it, and therefore believe and share and give the word to others. Here at Karen Orr, we know the importance of understanding the words of Adonai as it's given. It's when people stop trying to understand the actual word and they want to twist it to what they want to hear that they're in trouble. They don't want to understand what is called sound doctrine, but instead they want to place their own will or their own understanding onto the words. It's easy to do for so many people. They hear a word, and then instead of looking to the original meaning that Adonai wanted placed upon it, they want to say, hey, I already know what that means. It's okay. I got this. And then they go out and they do what? They find someone who teaches that word. They go to a congregation. How many times do we hear someone say, I go there because they believe what I believe. Listen to the warning from Shaul about these people and the way they handle scripture. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy starting in 4:3. For the time will come when they will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will pile up for themselves teachers in keeping with their own desires, to have their ears tickled. And they will turn away from hearing the truth and wander off to myths. They know what it's supposed to mean. Let me go find a teacher who teaches the same thing. And there's a real result from this kind of handling of scriptures. When the people wanted to turn from the truth of the scriptures and the priests started to tickle their ears instead of teaching the truth, the prophet Hosea gave a warning about this when he wrote in Hosea 4, starting in verse 6 of Hosea 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my Kohenim, my Kohen. Since you forgot the Torah of your God, just so I will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into disgrace. The prophet says they lack knowledge, meaning they lack understanding. If they don't know, then they cannot understand. But make no mistake, there is a difference between knowledge and understanding. Quoting is not understanding. Someone can quote the whole book of scripture to you, but if they don't understand it, it's worthless. These people are being admonished because they were lacking knowledge, because they turned from Adonai, but the same can be said for those who turn from understanding. They can know the words of scripture, but refuse to understand the original intent. You know, they can say, I know what that means for today. But unless you put yourself in the place of the prophet or the writer at that time, you're losing a lot of the meaning. Looking into the Haftorah portion for today from Isaiah, We also see Adonai's thoughts about those who do not want to listen and understand. Let's look at Isaiah 6, starting in 9. Then he said, Adonai says, go tell this people, hear without understanding and see without perceiving. Make the heart of this people fat, their ears heavy and their eyes blind. Else they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Adonai is not just writing off a bunch of people for no reason. He was saying that if they're going to turn from him, he will turn from them. And we see this again in the Brit Hadashah out of the mouth of Yeshua. When the disciples asked Yeshua why he spoke in parables, he gave them this answer in Matthew 13. Matthew 13:13, starting there. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will never understand. You will keep looking, but will never see. For the heart of this people has become dull. Their ears can barely hear, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. Then they would turn back, and I would heal them. Yeshua says that their hearts had become dull. Their ears can barely hear while their eyes are shut. But then we need to ask another question. To what were they dull, deaf, and blind to? That would be the words of the Tanakh. They did not want to understand the words given that were not just instructions of moral life. They were more than that. But they were an indication of how to recognize the Messiah when he came to them. And there he was, right in front of them, when Messiah Yeshua says in Matthew 13:13, go and tell, for this reason I speak in parables. He was right there in front of them, but they lacked understanding of the Tanakh. They lacked understanding of the Torah, which gave them the indicators. It gave them the road signs to recognize Messiah when he came. It's true still today. So they turned from his words given to them, the same word given to us today. And there's a reason for the words for us today. We find them at the beginning of Joshua, the book of Joshua. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous and then you will be successful. Meditate on Torah. We can see that as meditate on the Tanakh. Meditate on all of his words. From Genesis to Revelation, so you understand them. Then you will be successful. And success is not just the battle for the promised land. Yes, that's what he was saying to the Jewish, to the Israelites in Joshua's time. But it's also interpersonal relationships. It's also your personal relationship with Adonai, with Messiah Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh. It was true for the Israelites as they were getting ready to go into battle for the promised land. And it's true for us today. We are a people that must not have knowledge of the word, but we must understand the word. Don't just desire to have knowledge. Don't just desire to memorize the word. Desire to understand the word. That's what we need the Ruach for. The Ruach, you know, we can memorize the word without the Ruach. But we can't understand the word without the Ruach. We have to desire to be moved and live by the understanding of the word. And we're to be careful that the understanding of the word that we have is not our own understanding, but the understanding that comes through the Ruach HaKodesh. We must be aligned with him and his ways if we are to be successful in any of our ways. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your words. We thank you that through your Ruach HaKodesh, we gain understanding. Father, we do not want just knowledge of your word. We don't want just memorization of your word. We want understanding of your word. We want to be able to live it out because we understand what it's telling us to do. We do not want to be parrots who can just open our beaks and make noises. That's no better than a clanging cymbal. We want to understand it in our hearts and then to help others understand the word. So, Father, we thank you for the Ruach that you sent us. We thank you for the salvation through Messiah Yeshua, and for and that we can understand what it all means, how it all fits. We need to understand your word from Genesis to Revelation. Father, open our eyes for those parts of the scripture that we don't understand yet. Open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts, and help us through the Ruach HaKodesh. And I believe everyone here will say, amen, amen, amen. And amen to that.